Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the skillful art of manipulation. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present Killer's Confession, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1, The Perfect Confession. Detective Marcus Voyle. The interrogation room smelled like stale coffee and despair. I'd spent enough nights in this claustrophobic box to know its rhythms. The flicker of the fluorescent lights, the hum of the recording equipment, the way the steel table bolted to the floor seemed to absorb every lie, every drop of sweat. But tonight was different. Tonight, I wasn't just hunting. I was hungry. Ethan Cole sat across from me, his cuffed wrists resting on the table like he owned it. His posture was relaxed, almost bored, but his eyes? They were black holes, sucking in every flicker of weakness. I'd seen that look before, in the mirror, after my ex-wife took the kids and the courts took my pension. After the last killer I'd let slip away gutted a family of four. "You like hurting women, Ethan?" I said, flipping open the case file. The photos spilled out like a gory deck of cards. A brunette with her throat carved into a smile, a redhead strangled with piano wire, a college student dumped in a river, her skin bleached bone white. Or is it the power? The control? He leaned back, the chains around his ankles clinking. "You tell me, detective. You're the one who keeps bringing me in here. Maybe you're the one with the obsession." My fist clenched under the table. The brass wanted this case closed. The mayor wanted a headline. And the families? They wanted blood. But all I had were scraps. A hair caught in a victim's fingernail that didn't match Ethan's DNA. A grainy security tape of a figure in a hoodie near the riverbank. Nothing that'd stick. I slammed my palm on the table, making the photos jump. "Where were you on the night of October 12th, Ethan?" "Huh? Stalking Jessica Marlowe? Dragging her into that alley?" He smiled. "A slow, venomous thing. I was at a bar. Ask the bartender. She'll tell you I tipped well." Liar. The bartender was his cousin. They'd alibi each other till the sun burned out. I'd checked. Twice. But the system didn't care about gut instincts. It cared about proof. I stood, circling the table like a vulture. "You think you're clever? That you're gonna walk out of here again?" My voice dropped to a whisper. "I know what you are. And I'll bury you." He tilted his head, studying me. "You're shaking, detective. When's the last time you slept? Or is it the guilt keeping you up? All those women, their blood's on your hands too, isn't it? You could have saved them. If you were faster. Smarter. Better." The words hit like a shiv to the ribs. He was right. 3 years. 8 victims. And every time, Ethan danced just out of reach, taunting me with his freedom. But not tonight. 2 hours earlier. The evidence locker was a morgue for secrets. I swiped my badge, the red light blinking access denied until the third try. Inside, the shelves groaned with tagged plastic bags, knives, guns, a toddler's bloody teddy bear from a case that still haunted me. Focus. I found the switchblade in box number 237, sealed after the third victim. Maria Reyes. 22. Aspiring poet. The blade had been wiped clean, but the hilt was engraved with a rose, Ethan's trademark, though the lab couldn't lift a print. "What are you doing here, Voyle?" I froze. Officer Jenkins loomed in the doorway, his guts straining against his uniform. The guy was a gossip, a drunk, and the last person I needed sniffing around. "Double-checking the Cole files," I said, slipping the blade into my jacket. "Captain's orders." He snorted. "Bullshit. You're here to plant something." My blood turned to ice. "Careful, Jenkins. Accusing a detective of misconduct's a good way to end up on parking duty." He stepped closer, reeking of bourbon. "I've seen the way you look at him. Like you want to eat him alive. But you know what?" He jabbed a finger at my chest. "You're not a hero. You're a fucking time bomb." I grabbed his wrist, twisting until he whimpered. "Say that again. Please." He yanked free, backing away. "You're gonna burn, Voyle. And I'll bring the marshmallows." Back in the interrogation room, Ethan's smirk widened as I slid a confession form across the table. "Sign this, and I'll make sure you get a cell with a view. Maybe even a bookshelf. He glanced at the paper. I, Ethan Cole, admit to the murders of Cute. But why would I sign my life away? I leaned in, close enough to smell his peppermint gum. Because if you don't, I'll make sure your mother's nursing home gets a visit from some very angry friends of mine. Remember her? Rose Cole. Stage 4 dementia. Would be a shame if her medication disappeared. His mask cracked. A flash of rage, raw and primal. Gotcha. You're a sick bastard, he hissed. I shrugged. Takes one to know one. He reached for the pen. I watched his hand tremble, not from fear, but fury. The signature was a jagged scrawl like a knife wound. Happy, he spat. Ecstatic. I tucked the confession into my folder, the weight of the switchblade in my pocket a comforting secret. Later, in the parking garage. Rain sheeted down, blurring the city into a watercolor of guilt. I pulled out the switchblade, its rose hilt glinting under the flickering bulb. One call to the lab, a re-examination of the evidence, and Ethan's fate would be sealed. But my phone buzzed. A text from an unknown number. Nice performance tonight. But you forgot something. A photo followed. Me in the evidence locker, sliding the blade into my jacket. The phone slipped from my hand, clattering to the concrete. Someone had been watching. Someone knew. And as I stared at the shattered screen, I realized. The game had just begun.
Chapter 2. The Devil's Bargain. Ethan Cole. Prison cells have a way of shrinking around you. The walls don't just hold your body, they press down on your thoughts, your breath, your sanity. But I've learned to make friends with the rot. The mold creeping up the concrete like black veins, the rust bleeding from the bars, the sour stench of the drunk in the cell next to mine who sobs himself to sleep every night. These things remind me I'm still alive, that I can still feel. Detective Voyle thinks he broke me when he forced that confession. He thinks the game ended when he framed me, when he stole my life and fed it to the cameras like cheap confetti. But he doesn't know the rules. Doesn't know that in here, time is a currency. And I've been saving up. 3 days after the confession. The guard's flashlight slices through the dark, catching my face. Cole. Visitor. I don't move. Visitors mean reporters, lawyers, cops. Vultures picking at the carcass of my reputation. But the guard's boot slams into the cell door. Now, freak. The interrogation room is colder than I remember. Voyle sits slumped at the table, his suit wrinkled, his knuckles raw and red. He looks like a man who's been fighting ghosts. Good. You're supposed to be transferred to maximum security today, he says, not meeting my eyes. But I convinced the warden to keep you here. In case you remember anything else. I lean back, chains clanking. What's wrong, detective? Confession not stick. His jaw twitches. The news had splashed the headline that morning. Doubts emerge in Cole case. Evidence discrepancies? A leak from the lab about the switchblade's chain of custody. Small fractures in his perfect lie. Sign this, he snaps, sliding a new statement across the table. Admit the confession was coerced. Say I threatened you. I laugh. The sound echoes, harsh and hollow. So you can play hero again? Fix your mess and pin it on some other poor bastard. He slams his fist down, the table shuddering. Sign it, or I'll make sure your mother chokes on her next meal. The air goes static. My hands curl into fists under the table. Rose Cole's face flickers in my mind. Her laugh, the way she'd hum old jazz tunes while tending her garden, the vacant stare she'd developed as the dementia ate her alive. Voyle had found my only weakness, and he'd salted the earth around it. You touch her, I say softly, and I'll peel the skin off your children while they sleep. For a heartbeat, fear flashes in his eyes. Then he smirks. Too late. She's already in my custody. Protective care, they're calling it. He tosses a Polaroid onto the table. My mother, strapped to a hospital bed, her wrists bruised. Sign. Or next time, the photo won't be so pretty. The chains bite into my wrists as I lunge, but he's already out of reach. I'll kill you, I snarl. I'll carve you open and feed you your own. Sign it, he hisses. And she lives. The pen feels like a scalpel in my hand. I scribble my name, the letters jagged and furious. Voyle tucks the paper into his coat, triumphant. See, everyone breaks eventually. But as he leaves, I press my palm to the underside of the table. The chewing gum I'd stuck there yesterday is gone, along with the razor blade I'd hidden inside it. Thanks for the gift, detective. That night, prison is a hive of whispers. Favors traded for cigarettes, secrets sold for protection. I find Deshawn in the laundry room, his massive frame hunched over a sink of suds. He runs the underground mail service. Letters smuggled in Bible pages, contraband tucked inside rolls of toilet paper. For a price. I need a burner phone, I say. He doesn't look up. Cost you? I slide him the razor blade. This enough? He tests the edge on his thumb, drawing a bead of blood. Who's the shank for? Not your business. He laughs, low and rumbling. It's always business. But he pulls a phone from his waistband. 10 minutes. Then it's mine again. The bathroom stall reeks of ammonia. I dial the number I've scratched into my arm with a fingernail. Reyes, the internal affairs agent who'd been sniffing around Voyle. She answers on the third ring. Who is this? Someone who knows about the switchblade, I whisper. And the photo of Voyle planting it. Silence. Then, prove it. I close my eyes, recalling the details from Voyle's case files, the ones I'd memorized during visits. Maria Reyes' murder weapon. Engraved rose on the hilt. Lab report number 237, dated October 14th, Voyle logged it into evidence 2 days after that date. Check the timestamps. A sharp inhale. Where did you get this? He's not the only one who can play dirty. I press the phone closer. But I want a deal. My mother's in a facility under his control. Get her out. Get me a new trial. And I'll give you everything. And if I say no? I smile. Then tomorrow's headline will be about how IA helped a detective bury evidence. How many careers do you think that'll burn? 1 week later. The guard, Jenkins, the same bloated drunk who'd confronted Voyle in the evidence locker, drags me to visitation. His breath stinks of whiskey and regret. Make it quick, he grunts, shoving me into a chair. Reyes sits across the glass, her suit crisp, her eyes sharp as shivs. She slides a photo through the slot. My mother, asleep in a different hospital, her wrists unmarked. Happy. Ecstatic, I lie. Now honor the rest. She leans forward. The DA's reopening your case. But if you're jerking me around, Cole, I'll bury you deeper than Voyle ever did. I mimic Voyle's smirk. The one he wore when he thought he'd won. You'll get your proof. But first, I need you to leak something. The next kill. They found the body in the river this morning. Another woman, dark hair, throat slit. Just like the others. Voyle storms into my cell, wild-eyed, and slams me against the wall. You sick fuck. Did you have someone on the outside doing this? Huh. You think this clears you? I cough, his forearm crushing my windpipe. You should've killed me, when you had the chance. He drops me, spitting fury. I'll make sure you die in here. Slowly. But when he leaves, I crawl to the toilet and vomit. Not from fear. From rage. The dead woman wasn't mine. Wasn't part of the plan. Which means the real killer is still out there. But I'll let Voyle stew in that paranoia. Let him think I'm pulling the strings. After all, every good lie needs a kernel of truth. The reckoning begins. The package arrives at midnight. Jenkins tosses it into my cell, his face pale. You're a monster, Cole. Inside, a severed finger, wedding ring still attached. Voyle's informant. The one who'd fed him tips to frame me. I tuck the ring into my cheek, the metal bitter on my tongue. Later, I'll mail it to Voyle's house, nestled in a jewelry box like a perverse Valentine. But first, I carve a message into the cell wall with the razor blade. 9 left.
Chapter 3, The House of Cards. Detective Marcus Voyle. The stench of blood never leaves you. It seeps into your pores, your clothes, the back of your throat. A coppery ghost that follows you home, to bed, into your nightmares. I'd scrubbed my hands raw after the first time I planted evidence, but the guilt stuck like tar. Now, staring at the severed finger on my kitchen counter, its wedding ring glinting under the flickering fluorescent light, I realize guilt is the least of my problems. The finger belonged to Frank Torres. My informant. My friend. Or at least, the closest thing I had to one after the divorce. He'd fed me tips for years, traded favors in back alleys, kept his mouth shut when I slid him cash under the table. And now he was in a dumpster behind a pawn shop, missing a digit and a pulse, because of me. The note tucked inside the jewelry box was written in block letters. The ink smudged like the writer had been laughing as they penned it. You owe me 9 more. Ethan's work. It had to be. But how? He was in a maximum security cell, monitored 24/7. Unless he wasn't working alone. I poured a double bourbon, the glass trembling in my hand. The ice cubes clinked like bones. 3 days earlier. Internal affairs had turned my office into a crime scene. Agent Reyes stood in the doorway, arms crossed, as her lackeys rifled through my files, my desk, the framed photo of my kids I hadn't seen in months. You're wasting your time, I growled, leaning against the wall like I hadn't just vomited in the men's room stall. I closed the coal case. The mayor pinned a fucking medal on me. Reyes didn't blink. She held up a plastic evidence bag, the switchblade with the rose hilt. Funny thing. The lab found traces of your sweat on the hilt. Not coals. My stomach lurched. Contamination. Happens all the time. Does it? She stepped closer, her perfume sharp as antiseptic. Or did you forget to wear gloves when you planted it? I laughed, the sound too loud, too brittle. You think I'm dumb enough to leave prints? No, she smiled. I think you're desperate enough to miss one. One of her lackeys handed her a file. She flipped it open, revealing a photo of me in the evidence locker, the switchblade clutched in my bare hand. The timestamp, October 16th, 2 days after the blade had supposedly been logged. Anonymous tip, Reyes said. But my money's on Cole. He's been busy. Made friends with a guard who's got a gambling debt. And a DA intern who's got a taste for underage girls. She snapped the file shut. You're not a detective anymore, Voyle. You're prey. That night, the bar was a dive on the edge of the city, the kind of place where the stools stuck to your pants and the clientele stared at their drinks like they owed them money. I found Jenkins at the back, half conscious in a pool of vodka and self-pity. He looked up, his bloodshot eyes narrowing. Here to twist my arm again, hero? I slid into the booth, the leather cracking under my weight. Who gave Cole the photo? The one from the evidence locker. Jenkins snorted. Why the hell would I know? I grabbed his wrist, yanking it until his face smacked the table. Because you've been smuggling shit into the prison for him. Burner phones. Blades. Letters. He whimpered. I didn't have a choice, okay? He knew about my sister. The DUI she covered up. Said he'd send her to the chair if I didn't play along. What else? I twisted harder. What's he planning? I don't know. But he's got a visitor. Some chick in a black hoodie. Meets him every Thursday. They talk about sacrifices. I let go, tossing a 50 onto the table. If Cole asks, this never happened. Jenkins cradled his wrist. Or what? You'll kill me. I stood, my shadow swallowing him whole. Worse. I'll let Cole do it. The visitor. I parked outside the prison at dawn, nursing a thermos of coffee that did nothing to warm the ice in my veins. The hooded figure arrived at 8:03 a.m., slight, quick, face hidden under a scarf. She handed the guard a badge, and he waved her through without a search. Inside help. Perfect. I tailed her car to a cemetery on the outskirts of town. She knelt at a fresh grave, her hood slipping to reveal auburn hair and a jagged scar running from ear to collarbone. Maria Reyes' sister? The third victim's roommate? I snapped a photo, my phone buzzing with an incoming call. Lila. My daughter's voice was a knife to the gut. Dad? Some man came to the house. He said you're in trouble. That we're not safe. I gripped the steering wheel until my knuckles cracked. Where's your mom? She's packing. We're staying at Aunt Gina's. Dad, what's going? The line went dead. Another text lit up the screen. Family is such a fragile thing, isn't it? E. I threw the phone against the dashboard, screaming until my throat bled. The trap. Reyes called an hour later. We found another body. Male, mid-30s. Throat slit. Sound familiar. The morgue was colder than the grave. The corpse lay on the slab, his face a purple mess of bruises. Frank Torres. His remaining hand still clutched a playing card, the Ace of Spades. My old calling card from my days in Vice, when I'd leave it on perp's bodies as a warning. Cole's framing you, Reyes said, her voice flat. He's replicating your M.O. The press is already calling you the cop killer. I stared at Frank's hollow eyes. Why show me this? Because I want you to suffer. She leaned in, her breath hot on my ear. You deserve to watch your life burn. But first, you're going to help me bury Cole. She handed me a wire. Wear this. Get him to confess. Or I'll leak every photo, every lie, every finger he sent you. Interrogation room redux. Ethan looked older under the flickering lights, his smirk thinner, his eyes fever bright. Miss me, detective? I activated the wire, the tiny device sticky with sweat. You win. I'll take the fall. But leave my family out of it. He leaned back, chains clinking. Too late. Your daughter's school play is tomorrow, right? Peter Pan. Cute. My pulse roared. If you touch her. You'll what? He slammed his cuffed hands on the table. You're nothing now. No badge. No allies. Just a sad, broken liar who couldn't even keep his own kids from hating him. The wire felt like a noose. Why keep killing? You proved your point. His smile was a razor. Who said it's me? The door burst open. Reyes stormed in, her face pale. Another body. Downtown. Female brunette, throat slit. And this was in her hand. She tossed a Polaroid on the table. My daughter Lila, asleep in her bed. A date scrawled in red beneath her. Tomorrow. Ethan laughed. TikTok, detective. Chapter 4, The Puppeteer's Strings. Detective Marcus Voyle. The Polaroid of Lila burns in my pocket like a live coal. Her face, peaceful in sleep, is a gut-punch reminder of how far I've fallen. The clock on the precinct wall ticks louder with every passing second. Tomorrow. Ethan's deadline. I grip the edge of my desk, the wood splintering under my nails, and try not to imagine my daughter's throat slit wide, her blood staining the stage of her school play. Reyes watches me from the doorway, her arms crossed, her expression a mix of contempt and curiosity. You look like hell, Voyle. Feel like it too, I mutter, shoving files into a duffel bag. The precinct is a ghost town now, my desk a landfill of empty coffee cups and case photos. The rest of the department avoids me like a plague carrier. Even the janitor mops around my chair. She steps inside, closing the door with a soft click. I can get you protection. For Lila. I bark a laugh. Protection. From the guy you helped frame me. Her jaw tightens. I didn't know he'd go after your family. Bullshit. I slam the drawer shut. You wanted a scapegoat, and I was convenient. Now get out of my way. She blocks the door. Where are you going? To finish this. The safe house. The rain comes down in sheets, turning the streets into rivers. I drive to the old fishing cabin north of the city, the one I bought after the divorce. A place to drink in peace, to forget. Now it's a tomb. Lila sits on the moth-eaten couch, her knees pulled to her chest. Her mother, Claire, paces the room, her heels clicking like gunshots. This is insane, Marcus. We're calling the police. I am the police, I snap, tossing the duffel bag onto the table. Inside, a Glock, a burner phone, and the switchblade from the evidence locker, my last souvenirs of a life in ruins. Claire grabs my arm, her nails digging in. You're not a cop anymore. You're a target, and you're putting her in the crossfire. I shake her off. Ethan won't stop until I'm dead. Or until I stop him. Lila looks up, her eyes red-rimmed. Why does he hate you so much? Because I made him a monster. Stay here, I say instead. Don't answer the door. Don't trust anyone. The informant. Jenkins waits under the bridge, his uniform soaked through, a half-empty bottle of vodka in his hand. The river churns below, swallowing his slurred words. Why you're gonna get me killed? I shove him against the concrete pillar. Where's the hooded woman? The one visiting Cole. He hiccups. Dunno her name. But she's got a tattoo, snake on her neck. Seen her at the Red Lotus Club. Bouncers there, they know things. I drop a wad of cash into his trembling hands. If Cole asks, I'm dead. He stares at the money like it's a grenade. He already knows, Voyle. He knows everything. The Red Lotus. The club pulses with strobe lights and bass, the air thick with sweat and synthetic fog. I flash a fake badge at the bouncer, a mountain of muscle with a scar splitting his eyebrow. Looking for a woman. Snake tattoo. He grunts, jerking his chin toward the VIP section. She's there, draped in shadows, her hood replaced by a sequined dress that glitters like knife edges. The snake on her neck coils toward her ear, its fangs bared. Up close, she's younger than I expected, early 20s, with eyes like smoked glass. I slide into the booth beside her. Ethan Cole send you? She sips her drink, unfazed. Who's asking? The man who's about to arrest you for accessory to murder. Her laugh is a velvet purr. You're not a cop anymore, detective. Just a dead man walking. I grab her wrist, yanking her close. Where is he? She drives her knee into my groin. The pain whites out my vision. By the time I stagger up, she's gone, vanishing into the crowd like smoke. The drop. My burner phone buzzes in the parking lot. A text from an unknown number. Check your trunk. The body inside is still warm. Jenkins, his throat slit ear to ear, his fingers broken one by one. A playing card taped to his chest, the ace of spades. My hands shake as I slam the trunk shut. The phone buzzes again. 5 left. E. The bargain. Reyes finds me at the docks, the waves clawing at the pilings. Cole's been transferred. Solitary confinement. No visitors, no calls. I light a cigarette, the flame trembling. He's got someone on the outside. A woman. Snake tattoo. She hesitates. We've seen her. She's ex-military. worked private security for the DA's office. Fired after an incident. What incident? She strangled an informant. Said he'd disrespected her. The pieces click. Ethan's apprentice. The real killer. I toss the cigarette into the water. I need to get inside the prison. Tonight. Reyes frowns. Why? To make a deal with the devil. The visit. Ethan's cell reeks of ammonia and madness. He grins when he sees me, his teeth yellowed, his eyes fever bright. Back so soon, detective? I press against the bars. Call off your attack dog. Leave my daughter out of this. He leans forward, chains rattling. Or what? You'll kill me. I'll give you what you want. My voice cracks. My confession. My life. Just let her go. He studies me, then laughs, a sound like bones breaking. Too easy. I don't want you dead, Voyle. I want you broken. I want you to watch her die. I lunge, my hands squeezing the bars until my knuckles bleed. I'll tear you apart. He smiles. You already did. The return. The cabin is dark when I return. The door hangs open, splintered at the hinges. Inside, Claire lies on the floor, her throat slit. Lila's stuffed rabbit, the one she's had since she was 5, is soaked in blood. A Polaroid rests on the table, Lila, gagged and bound in the trunk of a car. The license plate visible. The phone buzzes. Tick-tock. E. Chapter 5, The Blood Covenant. Detective Marcus Voyle. Claire's blood is still under my fingernails. I scrubbed until my hands were raw, but the stains won't fade. They're part of me now, like the guilt, like the rage boiling in my veins. The cabin walls press in, the air thick with the metallic tang of death and the sour stench of my own sweat. Lila's stuffed rabbit, Mr. Hops, she called it, lies mangled in the corner, one button eye dangling by a thread. I press it to my face, inhaling the remnants of her strawberry shampoo, and scream into the silence until my throat cracks. The burner phone vibrates on the floor, Ethan's latest text glowing like a funeral candle. You should have stayed broken. Now the fun begins. E. I hurl the phone against the wall, shattering the screen. But the laughter follows me, Ethan's mine, hers, the hooded woman with the serpent tattoo. Her face haunts me, those dead eyes and the jagged scar that twists her smile into a snarl. She's out there. And she has my daughter. The morgue. Agent Reyes meets me outside the city morgue, her face a mask of frost. You shouldn't be here. I need to see her, I growl, shouldering past. Claire's body lies under a white sheet, her skin waxy and blue. The Y incision on her chest is a cruel joke, the stitches clumsy, as if the coroner couldn't be bothered to care. I touch her cold hand, the wedding band still glinting on her finger. We'd sold the rings years ago to pay for Lila's braces. A fake, Claire had laughed. Just like us. She fought, Reyes says, her voice clipped. Defensive wounds on her arms. Bruised knuckles. She tried to protect Lila. I cover Claire's face, my vision blurring. Find the car. The license plate from the photo. Reyes hesitates. We did. Stolen, dumped in the river. But there's a traffic cam photo of the driver. She hands me a grainy still. The hooded woman, her snake tattoo peeking above her collar. Who is she? Valeria Sokolov. Ex-Spetsnaz. Dishonorably discharged after she tortured a civilian in Chechnya. Got hired as private security for the DA's office last year. Fired when they found her hobby. Which was? Reyes's lips tighten. Collecting trophies. Fingers, ears. Sound familiar. The Polaroid in my pocket feels like a live wire. 5 left. The rat. The precinct is a graveyard. My desk has been cleared, my nameplate replaced with a sticky note that reads failure. I find Carl Murphy in the break room, the rookie who'd fetched my coffee and called Meebserb like he meant it. Now he won't meet my eyes. You, I snarl, slamming him against the fridge. You leaked the evidence locker photo to Cole. He pales. I didn't know. Bullshit. You've been on his payroll since day one. How much did he pay you to sell me out? Tears streak his face. He threatened my mom. Said he'd send her fingers in the mail if I didn't help. Please, I let him go, disgusted. Where's Valeria hiding? I don't know. But Cole's got a contact. A guy named Victor who runs a pawn shop on 8th. He smuggles stuff into the prison. Drugs, phones, bodies. I toss him a pen. Right. Now, the pawnbroker's price. Victor's pawn and loan smells like mildew and regret. The shelves sag under stolen watches, cracked TVs, and a bassinet still stained with baby formula. Victor himself is a warthog of a man, his neck tattooed with Cyrillic gang signs, a sawed-off shotgun under the counter. "We're closed," he grunts, not looking up from his ledger. I slide the photo of Valeria across the glass. "Where is she?" He laughs, gold teeth glinting. "You can't afford that answer." I toss a diamond ring onto the counter, Claire's, pried from her cold hand. "How about now?" He pockets the ring. "Warehouse district. Old meatpacking plant. But you'll walk into a grave." I head for the door. "Hey, cop," he calls. She likes to play with her food. Cuts the men first. The women? She takes her time. The warehouse. The meatpacking plant looms like a tombstone, its windows boarded, its walls scabbed with graffiti. The scent of rot seeps through the cracks. Blood, rust, and something sweetly chemical. I circle the building, Glock in hand, and find a basement entrance partially hidden under a tarp. Inside, chains dangle from the ceiling, hooks crusted with dried viscera. A surgical table dominates the center of the room, its leather straps stained brown. And there, in the corner, Lila's backpack, her name stitched in pink thread. A voice slices through the dark. "You're late, detective." Valeria steps into the flickering light of a hurricane lamp, her hood down, her auburn hair braided with what looks like fingers. Small ones. Children's. "Where's my daughter?" I cock the gun. She smiles, lifting a machete from the shadows. "Alive. For now." I fire. The shot goes wide as she lunges, the blade slicing my forearm. We crash into the surgical table, the gun skidding into the dark. She straddles me, her breath hot and sour. "Ethan wants you to suffer," she hisses, pressing the machete to my throat. "But I think I'll take your eyes first. Send them to him in a gift box." I drive my knee into her ribs. She rolls, snarling, and I scramble for the gun. A shot rings out, not mine. Valeria collapses, clutching her shoulder, as Reyes steps into the room, her service pistol smoking. "No," I roar. I needed her alive. Reyes ignores me, pressing her boot to Valeria's wound. "Where's the girl?" Valeria spits blood. "You'll never find her. He's already won." Reyes fires again. Valeria's skull fragments paint the wall. The aftermath. Reyes drags me outside, the cold air slapping me awake. "She was our only lead. She was a rabid dog," Reyes snaps. "And you're welcome." I shove her. "You killed her to bury this. To protect yourself." She pulls a USB drive from her pocket. "Found this in her car. Security footage from the prison. Cole's not working alone. He's got a network. Guards, cops, even a judge." I grab it. "Why help me now?" "Because I want him dead too." She lights a cigarette, her hands steady. "But you'll need to get dirtier than ever, Voyle. Steal. Cheat. Kill. You ready to burn your soul to ash?" I stare at the warehouse, Valeria's blood pooling under the door. I'm already ashes. The drop. The USB footage is a horror show. Ethan, in his cell, directing a parade of corrupt guards and slick-suited lawyers. Money changes hands. Evidence disappears. And in the final clip, a judge, slipping Ethan a razor blade with a nod. But it's the last file that stops my heart, a video of Lila, alive, chained in a concrete room. A timer ticks in the corner, 48 hours. A new text arrives. "Come play. E. Chapter 6, The Hollow Crown. Detective Marcus Voyle." The USB drive feels like a live grenade in my palm. 48 hours. 2 days to find Lila in a city that's become a funhouse mirror of my failures. Every reflection warped, every shadow hiding teeth. Reyes leans against her car, smoking a cigarette like it's the last vice she'll ever indulge. The warehouse behind us still reeks of Valeria's blood, but the real rot is inside me, spreading. "You're wasting time," Reyes says, flicking ash into the wind. "Cole's network is a hydra. Cut off one head, two grow back." I glare at the USB. The footage of Lila plays on a loop in my mind, her small frame shivering in that concrete cell, the timer ticking down her life. "Then I'll burn the whole fucking thing to the ground." She crushes the cigarette under her heel. "You'll need help. Someone inside the prison. You volunteering?" "No," she tosses me a key card. "But he might." The name on the card makes my stomach churn. Dr. Elias Shaw, Chief Psychiatrist, Blackridge Penitentiary. The devil's shrink. Blackridge Penitentiary crouches on the edge of the city like a gargoyle, its walls streaked with decades of rain and rust. Shaw's office is a sarcophagus of leather books and diplomas, the air thick with the cloying sweetness of pipe tobacco. He greets me with a handshake that lingers too long, his fingers cold and damp. "Detective Voyle. Or should I say former detective?" He gestures to a wingback chair. I've followed your unraveling with great interest. I don't sit. Ethan Cole. What's he told you? Shaw steeples his fingers, his glasses catching the light. He speaks of you often, calls you his magnum opus, says you're more alike than you'd ever admit. We're nothing alike. Aren't you? He opens a file, revealing photos of the crime scenes, my falsified evidence, the ace of spades cards, the Polaroids. You both crave control. Cole through chaos, you through order. But chaos is winning, isn't it? I slam the file shut. I need access to his visitors. Names, dates, recordings. Shaw sighs. Even if I wanted to help, the warden monitors everything. Cole's become quite the celebrity here. His followers send gifts. Letters. Money. Followers. He slides a stack of fan mail across the desk. Letters scrawled in blood, lipstick, what looks like fecal matter. Free the Wolfman. You're an artist. Kill the cop for us. He's a symbol now, Shaw says. A dark messiah. And you're his sacrificial lamb. I pocket a handful of letters. What do you get out of this? You're not doing this for ethics. He smiles. I'm writing a book. The Psychology of a Fallen Hero. You're chapter 6. The Favor. Reyes waits in the parking lot, her arms crossed. Well, Shaw's a vulture, I say, tossing her the key card. But he's got access to the visitor logs. We need to find Cole's benefactor. The one funding this circus. She nods toward the prison gates. A black sedan idles nearby, its windows tinted. That's your ride. Don't ask questions. The driver is a ghost of a man, pale, hairless, his pupils milky with cataracts. He says nothing as we glide through the city, stopping at a pawn shop I'd hoped to forget. Victor's. The warthog smirks when I enter. Back so soon, cop? Here to sell more jewelry. I slide the fan letters across the counter. Who's sending these? Where's the money coming from? He flips through them, snorting. You think I'm Cole's accountant? No. But you're his errand boy. I press a photo of Lila against the glass. This girl dies. I'll make sure your cellmate is a man who collects warthogs. His gold teeth flash. Fine. There's a fundraiser. Tonight. Black tie, black hearts. Cole's patrons will be there. But you'll need an invite. And how do I get one? He leans closer, his breath reeking of onions and envy. Steal it. The Gala of Ghouls. The Vander Linden estate is a monument to old money and older sins. Chandeliers drip crystal tears above a ballroom of silk and slaughterhouse smiles. I adjust my stolen tuxedo, lifted from a drunk hedge fund prick in the valet line, and clutch a champagne flute like it's a lifeline. Reyes blends into the crowd, her emerald gown a blade in a sea of black. She's playing waitress, her tray laden with caviar and cyanide glances. We lock eyes. No sign of Lila. A man sidles up to me, his face a patchwork of Botox and hubris. Marcus Voyle. I didn't think you'd have the guts to show. I recognize him, Judge Harold Brantley. The same man who'd handed Ethan a razor blade in the USB footage. You've got something of mine, I say, my voice steady. He sips his bourbon. I've got nothing. But Cole, he's got the city by the throat. And you're his favorite chew toy. I grab his wrist, spilling his drink. Where's my daughter? He laughs. You're too late. She's already been baptized. The word triggers a memory. Lila's christening, Claire's laughter, the priest's sermon about redemption. Now it curdles into something grotesque. Reyes appears, her tray between us. Everything all right, gentlemen? Brantley pales. You. She stabs him with a syringe, the needle hidden in her corsage. Sleep tight, Your Honor. The interrogation. We drag Brantley to the estate's library, his limp body slumping into an armchair. Reyes slaps him awake, her heel digging into his crotch. Talk, she says. Where's the girl? He groans, drool pooling on his chin. Cole's temple, the old cathedral on Fifth. But you'll never get in. It's a sanctuary. I press a letter opener to his throat. What happens there? Sacrifices. He giggles, high and unhinged. The unworthy cleansed in blood. Your daughter's the main event. Reyes breaks his nose with the syringe. Who else is involved? Everyone, he wheezes. Cops, judges, the damn mayor. Cole's not a man, he's a movement. The door creaks open. A security guard freezes, hand on his radio. Reyes throws the letter opener. It embeds in his throat. Time to go, she says, wiping blood on the curtains. The revelation. We flee through the servants' quarters, the mansion erupting in chaos behind us. In the car, Reyes pulls a velvet box from her clutch. Inside, a severed finger wearing a senator's signet ring. Brantley wasn't lying, she says. Cole's got the city in his pocket. But there's a pattern. The sacrifices, they're happening tonight. All across town. I grip the steering wheel. Distractions. To keep the cops scattered while he kills Lila. She loads her pistol. Then let's give him a distraction he'll choke on. The trap. The cathedral looms, its spires clawing at the moonlit sky. The stained glass saints watch us approach, their eyes shattered by bullet holes. Inside, candlelight flickers over pews crusted with dried blood. The air hums with chanting. Lila kneels at the altar, her wrists bound, a hooded figure looming over her with a curved dagger. Not Ethan. Someone else. I raise my gun. Let her go. The figure turns. Mayor Charlotte Harlow smiles, her pearl necklace replaced with human teeth. Detective. So glad you could join the congregation. Reyes curses. You're supposed to be in D.C. Politics is theater, Harlow purrs. And tonight's performance requires a finale. She presses the dagger to Lila's throat. Cole sends his regards. I fire. The bullet tears through Harlow's shoulder. She screams, dropping the dagger, as the crowd surges forward, a sea of masks and malice. Reyes grabs Lila, shoving her toward me. Go. I'll hold them off. You'll die. She grins, wild and feral. Better than retirement. We run. The last thing I hear is Reyes' laughter and the roar of gunfire. The betrayal. Lila sobs in the back seat, her tiny hands clawing at the duct tape on her wrists. Dad, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. It's okay, I lie, swerving through traffic. You're safe now. But the GPS on my phone blinks, a tracking app one didn't install. The screen flashes. Thank you for leading us to her. E. A semi-truck plows into us. Chapter 7, The Shattered Mask. Detective Marcus Voyle. The world comes back in fragments. Screaming metal. Shattered glass. Lila's voice, shrill and raw, slicing through the fog. I blink, and the windshield is a spiderweb of cracks, blood smeared across the glass like abstract art. My blood. Lila's blood. The semi-truck's horn blares in the distance, a dying animal's wail. I twist in the driver's seat, my ribs screaming, and reach for her. Lila. Lila. She's crumpled in the back seat, her left arm bent at a sickening angle, her face pale as wax. But she's breathing. Thank God she's breathing. The door won't open. I kick it, once, twice, the pain in my leg white hot. It gives, and I tumble onto the asphalt, glass shredding my palms. The highway stretches empty under a bruised sky. The semi-truck vanished like a ghost. A setup. Always a setup. Lila whimpers as I pull her free. Dad, it hurts. I know, baby. I know. I cradle her, scanning the horizon. No headlights. No help. Just the skeletal outline of an abandoned gas station in the distance. We stagger toward it, Lila's weight sagging against me. The station sign creaks in the wind, the word hello rusted to H-E-underscore-F-R-O. Fitting. Inside, the stench of urine and rot claws at my throat. I lay Lila on a moldy couch, her breath shallow. Her arm is definitely broken. I need a splint, bandages, morphine, anything. But the shelves are stripped bare, looted long ago. Stay here, I whisper, pressing a kiss to her forehead. I'll find help. Her fingers clutch mine. Don't leave. I'll be right back. Liar. The highway. The first car that stops is a rusty pickup. The driver's a grizzled man in a flannel shirt, his eyes darting to Lila's unconscious form. Need a ride. Hospital. Now. I climb in, clutching Lila. He doesn't drive toward the city. Wrong way, I growl. He smiles, toothless. Ain't it, though? The syringe pricks my neck before I can react. The butcher's den. I wake in a meat locker, chains bolted to the ceiling, my wrists raw from struggling. The walls glisten with frozen blood, animal carcasses hanging like macabre art. Lila is gone. The door creaks open. A woman enters, her face hidden under a black ski mask, but the snake tattoo coils above her collar. Valeria's replacement. Awake already? Her voice is honey and arsenic. Ethan's disappointed. He wanted you conscious for the trade. Where's my daughter? She slaps me, the ring on her finger splitting my lip. Your daughter? She's his now. His apprentice. The word chills me deeper than the meat locker. She presses a phone to my ear. Ethan's voice slithers through. Marcus. You've been naughty. Stealing my spotlight. But don't worry. Lila and I are bonding. A whimper in the background. Lila. I'll kill you, I rasp. Promises, promises. Here's the deal. I want the USB drive. The one Reyes gave you. Deliver it to the address I text. and I'll consider letting Lila keep her eyes. The line dies. The woman leaves, tossing a rusty hacksaw onto the floor. Oh, she says, pausing in the doorway. Ethan says you'll need your right hand to make the drop. Better get started on the left. The choice. The hacksaw teeth glint in the dim light. I clamp the blade between my boots, sawing the chain link by link. It takes hours. Or days. Time bleeds together here. When the chain snaps, I stumble into the hall. The compound is a maze of concrete and steel, surveillance cameras blinking red. I find a guard slumped at a desk, a half-eaten sandwich in his hand. I take his gun, his keys, his wallet. $43. Enough for a burner phone. The texts from Ethan pour in. TikTok, detective. Lila's patience is thinning. Attached, a video. Lila, strapped to a chair, a scalpel tracing her cheek. Her eyes scream, but her mouth is duct-taped shut. I smash the phone. Then I vomit. The Judas kiss. The address leads to a boarded-up church. The USB drive feels heavier than a coffin. Inside, pews are overturned, hymnals strewn like corpses. A figure waits at the altar, Reyes. Her arm is bandaged, her face bruised. You're alive. Where's Lila? She steps closer. It's over, Voyle. Give me the drive. I raise the gun. You sold me out. Told Ethan where we were. She laughs, bitter. You think I'm the rat? Cole's got claws in everyone. Even you. Prove it. She pulls a photo from her pocket. Me years ago, accepting a bribe from a drug lord. The night Claire left. He's got dirt, Marcus. On all of us. The USB isn't just evidence. It's his insurance. I press the gun to her chest. You're lying. Am I? She grips the barrel. Then shoot. But ask yourself, why did Ethan let you live? Why keep you in the game? The confession spills out of her. She's been feeding Ethan intel, trading my life for her daughter's. Her daughter. The one she never mentioned. He took Sophia 6 months ago, she whispers. Said he'd return her if I played along. But she's dead. I found her in pieces. I lower the gun. We can end this. No, she draws her own pistol. We are this. The shot echoes. Reyes falls, a hole between her eyes. Behind her, the sniper lowers his rifle. A cop I recognize from the precinct. Murphy. Sorry, Voyle, Murphy says. But the kid's already gone. He tosses another photo. Lila, her eyes hollow, holding a knife to a bound guard's throat. Ethan's apprentice. The descent. I don't remember leaving the church. Don't remember driving to the abandoned zoo on the city's edge. But here I am, standing at the lion's den, the USB drive clutched in my fist. Ethan's voice booms from a rusted speaker. Welcome to the finale, detective. Let's see if the apple falls far from the tree. The cage creaks open. Lila steps out, a pistol in her hand, her eyes glazed and distant. Lila, I choke out. It's me. She raises the gun. Dad, he says I have to. Don't listen to him. Please. Her finger trembles on the trigger. He promised he'd stop. If I do this, he'll stop. Behind her, Ethan emerges from the shadows, a crown of barbed wire on his head. A king needs an heir, Marcus. And Lila's a natural. I lunge. The gun fires. Chapter 8, The Crown of Thorns. Detective Marcus Voyle. The gunshot is a thunderclap in the hollow belly of the abandoned zoo. I don't feel the bullet, not at first. Just the heat of it, a comet's tail scorching past my ear, and then Lila's scream, raw and shattered, as Ethan's laughter coils around us like a noose. She drops the pistol, her hands fluttering to her mouth like wounded birds. Dad! Ethan steps forward, the barbed wire crown digging into his temples, blood threading down his cheeks like tears. Disappointing, Lila. But don't worry, we'll try again. I lunge, tackling him to the cracked concrete. His skull cracks against the floor, but his grin never wavers. We roll, fists and teeth in rage, a feral dance we both knew would end here. His nails claw at my eyes. I bite his wrist until I taste copper. Stop. Lila's voice is a blade. We freeze. She holds the gun again, her aim wavering between us. The child I raised on lullabies and ice cream now stands judge and executioner in a derelict lion's den, her innocence curdled into something sharp and lethal. Ethan wipes blood from his lip. Choose, little wolf. Him or me. The first cut. We're back in the meat locker. Ethan's new butcher, a hulking silhouette named Graves, chains me to the same ceiling hooks, my toes barely scraping the blood-slick floor. Lila watches from the corner, her face a porcelain mask. Lesson one, Ethan says, pressing a bone saw into her hands. The femur is the strongest bone. It takes patience to cut through. She trembles. I don't want to. He strokes her hair, tender as a lover. You will. Graves drags in a homeless man, gagged and thrashing. Ethan nods to Lila. Start with the fingers. They're expendable. The man's screams muffle into sobs as Lila saws. She vomits after the third finger, but Ethan forces her back. Finish it, or I'll let Graves play with Daddy. I strain against the chains. Lila, don't. Look at me. Her eyes meet mine, drowning in tears. I'm sorry. The saw bites deeper. The whisper network. Graves throws me into a storage closet hours later, my wrists raw, my soul flayed. The room stinks of ammonia and despair, but there's a loose vent cover above the sink. Inside, a dead rat and a smuggled phone. The texts are from a blocked number. He's moving her tonight. Abattoir on 12th. Come alone. Friend. A trap. Probably. But the alternative is leaving Lila to rot in Ethan's cathedral of pain. I pry a rusted pipe from the wall and creep into the hall. Graves dozes at a desk, a whiskey bottle in his fist. One swing caves his temple in. I take his keys, his wallet, his face, a Polaroid tucked behind his ID. Graves and a prison guard, exchanging a bag of cash. The guard's face is familiar. Murphy. The puzzle snaps into place. Ethan's web isn't just cops and politicians, it's the guards, the system itself. A hydrioctopus strangling the city. The auction. The abattoir stinks of death and diesel. Trucks idle in the loading bay, their containers stamped with corporate logos. Inside, a gallery of monsters, judges in domino masks, socialites sipping champagne from human skulls, Ethan at the podium like a demonic auctioneer. Lila stands beside him, dolled up in a black lace dress, her eyes vacant. A collar glints around her neck. Lot 17, Ethan announces. Fresh stock, formerly known as Lila Grace Foyle. Bidding starts at $500,000. A man in a wolf mask raises his paddle. A million. My stomach heaves. They're not just selling her, they're selling her soul. I ignite a gas canister from the loading dock. The explosion tears through the auction, flames licking at silk and sin. Chaos erupts. Ethan grabs Lila, fleeing through a steel door. I follow, the pipe in my hand slick with sweat. The truth. The door leads to a chapel. Candles flicker, illuminating a mural of Ethan as a messiah, his hands dripping blood onto a congregation of shadows. Lila kneels at the altar, a dagger to her throat, held by Mayor Harlow, her face a ruin of scar tissue from my bullet. You're too late, she rasps. The ritual's done. She's his now. Ethan emerges from the confessional, a chalice in hand. You didn't really think I wanted her dead, did you? I needed her broken. Like you broke me. I step closer, the pipe raised. This ends now. He laughs. It ended the moment you planted that blade. You made me a martyr, Marcus. Now I'm making her a god. Lila's voice cuts through the static. Dad, run. The dagger clatters. She drives the collar's hidden shiv into Harlow's eye, then tackles Ethan. They crash into the mural, his crown of thorns impaling his skull on a stone saint's halo. The escape. We flee through the sewers, Lila's hand vice gripping mine. She's shaking, her dress torn, her eyes wild. He's not dead. I felt his pulse. I know. She stops, yanking me to face her. You have to kill him. However it ends, you have to. The manhole above us creaks open. A shadow drops down Murphy, his service pistol aimed at my chest. Sorry, Voyle. Orders are orders. Lila steps between us. Wait. He's got the USB. The one with your face on it, trading kids for cash. Murphy hesitates. I toss him the drive. Check it yourself. Then decide whose side you're on. He catches it, conflicted. A gunshot rings out. Murphy crumples, Reyes' ghost smirk on his lips. Or maybe I'm hallucinating. Lila grabs the pistol. Where now? The sewers echo with howls. Ethan's disciples. Somewhere he'll never look, I say. The hollow home. We break into my old house. Claire's perfume still lingers, her yoga mat collecting dust. Lila collapses on the couch, her adrenaline spent. I clean her wounds, my hand steady, but my mind fracturing. I'm sorry. For everything. She touches my cheek. We end it tomorrow. Together. But when I wake, she's gone. A note on the fridge. I can't let you die for me. L. Ethan's final text arrives. Come alone. Or she dies screaming. Chapter 9, The Communion of Blood. Detective Marcus Voyle. The church steeples pierce the dawn sky like daggers, their shadows stretching toward me like accusations. This is where it began, the lies, the planted evidence, the first thread I pulled to unravel my soul. Now it ends here. Ethan's final text burns in my mind, a psalm of venom. Come alone, or she dies screaming. I step through the shattered stained glass door, the crunch of glass under my boots echoing through the hollow nave. Candles gutter in the drafts, their wax pooling like molten flesh on the pews. The air reeks of incense and iron, a sacrament of decay. Lila hangs from the rafters, her wrists bound by barbed wire, blood streaking her arms in crimson ribbons. Her head lolls, her breath shallow, but her eyes find mine. Alive. Daddy, her voice is a fractured whisper. Ethan emerges from the confessional, his gait uneven, his skull still bandaged from Lila's shiv. The crown of thorns sits crooked on his brow, dried blood cracking like old paint. Welcome to the reckoning, Marcus. I saved you a front row seat. I raise the pistol, Graves stolen .45, cold and heavy. Let her down. Now. He laughs, the sound ricocheting off the vaulted ceiling. Or what? You'll shoot me? Again. He spreads his arms, a messiah inviting martyrdom. Do it. But know this. If I die, the timer on that collar around her neck resets. 5 minutes. Just enough time for you to watch her choke. I glance at Lila. The metal collar glints, a red LED blinking lazily. 5 minutes. Ethan limps closer, his breath sour with infection. You still don't get it, do you? This was never about me. It was about you. The lies you told. The blood you spilled. The father you failed to be. The gun trembles in my hand. I'm ending this. Nobody grins, blackened teeth like tombstones. You're completing it. The first betrayal. The side door creaks open. Reyes steps into the nave, her face gaunt, her arm in a sling. The USB drive glints in her good hand. It's over, Voyle. Cole's network is exposed. The feds are raiding his properties as we speak. Ethan claps slowly. Bravo, Agent Reyes. But did you tell him? Did you tell him how you sold out your own daughter to save your skin? Reyes pales. Shut your mouth. Or what? You'll shoot me. Ethan mimics her voice, high and shrill. I'll protect you, Sophia. Mommy's got this under control. Reyes fires. The bullet tears through Ethan's shoulder. He staggers but laughs harder. Too late. Sophia's bones are fertilizer in my garden. Reyes screams, emptying the clip. Ethan collapses behind the altar, his laughter dissolving into wet coughs. I grab her arm. The collar. How do we stop it? She shakes her head, tears carving through the grime on her face. There's no timer. It's a microphone. He's been listening, leading us here. Lila's collar beeps. Ethan's voice crackles through pre-recorded. Tick-tock, detective. The LED flashes 10 seconds. The choice. I climb the pulpit, my boots slipping on blood-slick wood. Lila sways above me, her tears mixing with the blood on her cheeks. I'm sorry, Dad. I tried to be strong. You are strong. I choke out, sawing at the barbed wire with my pocket knife. The blade snaps. No. 9 seconds. I holster the gun and leap, grabbing the rope. My weight yanks it downward, Lila's body crashing into mine. We fall, tangled in scripture and sin, as the collar beeps its final warning. 1 second. I tear the collar off, hurling it into the confessional. It explodes, shrapnel embedding in the walls. Lila sobs into my chest, alive, alive. Reyes aims her reloaded pistol at Ethan, who crawls toward the altar, trailing blood like a snail's silver kiss. This isn't over. Yes, I say, lifting Lila into my arms. It is. The second betrayal. The police swarm the church, their sirens painting the walls red and blue. Reyes negotiates my surrender, her voice steady, her eyes dead. Give me the gun, Voyle. They'll go easy if you cooperate. Lila clings to me. Don't let them take you. I kiss her forehead. They won't. Reyes' finger tenses on her trigger. Don't make this harder. I glance at the USB drive in her hand. The one she never gave the feds. The one I copied last night. You're still protecting yourself. How many bodies did you bury to keep your secrets, Sophia's mom? Her face twists. You don't get to judge me. No, I say, nodding to Lila. She does. Lila pulls Reyes' stolen pistol from my waistband and fires. The truth. Reyes falls, clutching her stomach. The police rush in, but I'm already moving, dragging Lila into the crypt beneath the church. Ethan's final surprise waits here. A maze of bones and filing cabinets, each drawer labeled with a name. Brantley. Harlow. Murphy. Shaw. Lila opens a drawer marked Voyle. Inside, photos of her birth mother. Not Claire, but a Jane Doe from a cold case, her throat slit in an alley. My first cover-up. You lied, Lila whispers. To protect you. From what? From me. The last communion. Ethan waits in the catacombs, propped against a coffin, his breath bubbling through the hole in his lung. Beautiful, isn't it? The truth is a disease. I kneel beside him. Why her? He grins. Because she's mine. I killed her mother. I own. Your. Lies. Lila screams, lunging with the knife. I catch her, but she slashes my arm, wild as a feral cat. You let him live. You knew, and you let him live. Ethan's laugh gurgles. Now you see little wolf. He's the real monster. I pick up his crown of thorns and press it into his chest, twisting until his heart stills. The reckoning. Dawn bleeds through the crypt vents. Lila sits in the dirt, clutching the knife, her eyes hollow. What now? I bandage my arm, the pain a distant hum. We run. Where? Somewhere we can burn it all down. Start over. She takes my hand, hers trembling, hers alive. Together. We climb into the light, the city spread before us like a corpse. Sirens wail. The hunt begins anew. Epilogue, the wolf's gospel. They find Ethan's body in the crypt, the crown of thorns fused to his ribs. The USB drive goes viral, toppling judges, mayors, saints. Reyes survives, but her career dies on the operating table. Lila and I vanish, ghosts in a world of rot. But sometimes when another corrupt soul falls, a slit throat, a bullet in the dark, I like to think she's out there. My little wolf. Our howl echoing through the night.